Thank you for joining with us for another episode of Morning Briefings here on the Pipeline Intercession for the President and on our podcast. If you have any dreams that you have about the Office of the President, please send them to pip@christiancenterstreetport.com. We're so thankful that you all have joined in with us on this prayer journey, and we look forward to standing with you not only today, but in the days ahead. So with that, we'll go ahead and join today's broadcast as we talk about the news and stand on the wall for this nation and the Office of the President. Good morning, everyone. Zach R. Skadden coming to you live from North Carolina. And today is such a glorious day from this last weekend, a time of just refreshing and an outpouring of the Lord and really recentering us as a nation. And literally as I went offline on Friday, the ruling came out. What a way to start the weekend. And so we want to today focus on next steps. And you'll hear this clearly from everybody. But we want to just outline the next steps for us here, for those who intercede for the Office of the President. And today we want to look at specifically some things the president himself said and the vice president. And also looking at the walking out the prophetic of the dream Chris Reed had of where he saw President Biden being removed from office, Kamala Harris being put in, and Elizabeth Warren having a stronger, more so louder voice in the season ahead. And there's some things that both of those women have said in Vice President Harris and Senator Elizabeth Warren that we want to take a look at, and then also some things that the president himself is doing this week. But first, let's start in the Word with grounding ourselves in the foundations of Scripture. And today we want to focus on a passage in Song of Songs, chapter 5, verses 2 through 8. And we want to look at this because it's a goes along with our title of it's a time to wake up, worship, and move to your next glory realm. And so we read here in Scripture, in Song of Songs, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version because I think it adds some context to what we're reading about here today. And so it says, "I went into a deep sleep, but my heart stayed awake." And this is from the bridegroom's standpoint here. It says, "I dreamed that I heard the voice of my beloved as he knocked at the door of my mother's cottage. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my spotless one," he said. The bridegroom, that was the bride before. And this is the bridegroom, "For I am wet with the heavy night dew. My hair is covered with it, but weary from a day of in the vineyards, I had already sought my rest. I had put off my garment," this is the bride, "how could I again put it on? I washed my feet, how could I again soil them? My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my heart was moved for him. I rose up to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, and my fingers with liquid sweet-scented myrrh, which he had left upon the handles of the bolt. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul went forth to him when he spoke, but it failed me, and now he was gone. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen who go about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took my veil and my mantle from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you will tell him that I am sick from love, simply sick to be with him." And it's a warning here and an opening of invitation for us to wake up and to worship the Lord. And Chuck Pierce talks about how he describes it as this. He says, the bride-to-be has a troubling dream that her bridegroom leaves her. She's taken off a garment and is hesitant to redress to meet him. She then runs after him. The watchman mistakes her as a harlot, wandering in the streets and removing her other garments. Oh my, she is stripped of her authority. And this is the reason I tell this story is about why it's important to reorder our day, to get in that alignment with the Lord, to bring about that continual worship, that continual prayer, that continual place of intimacy with the Lord, so that we can bring about that place of revival in our lives and then through our cities, our state, our nation as there. And he goes on to finish saying, he says, by reordering our day and moving into a place of responding to God during the night watches, we will see our authority restored and even increased instead of being stripped from us. If you go on to read the rest of Song of Songs, that's what happens. There's that reordering of, okay, the bridegroom is awakened. The bride is awakened to the order of the Lord and the steps that she should take, and therefore they come back into harmony, per se, and walk out that relationship that she's zealous for here in chapter 5 of Song of Songs. So we want to start with that foundation of how it's time for us to wake up. And as the overturning of Roe v. Wade, now it's a time for certain steps to be taken. And if you listen to our sermon a little bit yesterday, we're going to work on getting that back up in its entirety as we're working on piecing everything together from our recordings. So we'll plan to have that up by later today, so you can go back and watch it. But we want to look at now some of the things the president himself said, want to be aware of them, repent for some of the things he said, and intercede for the White House itself, those who are even in this current administration, that they turn their hearts towards the Lord, the Lord's will on this issue, and even for future administrations and presidents to do the same as well. Now, first, we have the president coming out himself and said that this is not over, that there are going to be steps taken next to ultimately try to allow its best possibility within the realm of the law. And they even understand this. Within the realm of the authority and the law that they're given, talking about how the constitutional right, which is somehow not there, is supposedly there and was taken away, blah, 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 etc. And Biden called Roe the law of the land and said that abortion is on the ballot in November. And you're going to hear this a lot from those who want abortion, whether they're Republican or Democrat, and you would be surprised. I believe in Utah, there are a lot of Republicans who are really Democrats who are saying those things of their abortion extremists and want that stuff on the ballot. And so, and this is the issue, the right to privacy, liberty, and equity. They're all on the ballot, and that's huge. That's the next step for the left and those who don't want that. And I'll put the comments made from the president, the transcript here, on the link. You can go back and read it. For me, it's just hard to watch him speak publicly because he fumbles and stumbles, and even the speech he gave at the G7. It's hard. It's really, really hard to watch for me, and it's easier just to read. So we want to be aware of this, but also if you want to read his remarks, it's there. But I want to look at what the vice president herself said, because there's some things that she said that are I think key, and we want to pay attention to her. If Chris Dreams Read does come true, we believe that it will. And this could be part of the issue, and there's some things I'll get to on that, of why the left would want to remove and invoke the 25th Amendment for President Biden. Vice President Kamala Harris had talked about how she said, I'd plan to speak about our strategy for improving care of pregnant women and mothers across this country, but then goes on to talk about how the decision of overturning Roe, what it means, and she says for nearly 50 years we talked about what Roe v. Wade protects. Today, as of right now, as of this minute, we can only talk about what Roe v. Wade protected, past tense. And what a beautiful statement. I couldn't have put it any more eloquently than that. Great phrase from the vice president herself. And she also talks about how, not so great here, this is a healthcare crisis, because understand millions of women in America will go to bed tonight without access to healthcare and reproductive care, et cetera, et cetera. This is the first time in our history that the constitutional right has been taken from here's the key point. And what constitutional right is she talking about? And some might ask, It's the right to privacy. Okay? I would agree to that right of privacy until you take away the privacy of the human being inside of the womb. That's the humanity side and scientific side of it, not even getting to the religious side. And so they're upset about that. And she says how – I'm skipping a little bit here. She says how the opinion also says, when you read it, that abortion is not deeply rooted in our nation's history, because it's not. They offer that in the opinion as a foundation for the decision they render today. In holding, that is not deeply rooted in our history. Okay, where is it deeply rooted in our history? If you're saying it's not, you have to prove where it is. You're the one making accusations. Today's decision on that theory then calls into question other rights that we thought were settled, such as the right to birth control, right to same-sex marriage, the right to interracial marriage. And she's bringing up everything that the court has decided on in the past, where some decisions were correct, some decisions were wrong, because Clarence Thomas himself says, look, there are other cases that were ruled upon in the past on the error, like Roe v. Wade, of making up rulings for whatever reason. And so this is why they're upset about that, is they looked at what Clarence Thomas said, because reality is so you had Alito's opinion, which was kind of the middle ground, but it was like far over and saying Roe v. Wade is over. And then you have Clarence Thomas's, which said, no, we need to go further. We need to look back at other cases and how we ruled based upon even Roe, and saying, look, no, this is, we ruled wrong on Roe. Roe was ruled wrongly. And so therefore we need to go back and deal with the other cases that use Roe as precedent. There's a possibility of that. Alito himself said, and even Lindsey Graham pointed this out. He said, and because I read the opinion a little bit, Alito said that it set the right tone. This is what Graham said, by arguing same-sex marriage contraceptive not in jeopardy. Alito specifically said that the ruling on this case only deals with Roe and Casey. It doesn't deal with other issues. It deals with abortion and the right and lack thereof to abortion at a federal level mandating it. So there's that issue there. I want to go back to what the vice president herself was saying, because there's an interesting point that we want to go towards. She talks about how our nation has been the founding to expand freedom. And she goes on to this, to say this. It says, today I invite all the people to stand together in defense of one of the most fundamental ideals and principles that for generations and for centuries, I believe, we have held dear. 50 years is centuries? Man, the math that the left does is just completely amazing. And she talks about how, which is that fundamental principle about the importance of liberty. To stand for liberty, to stand for freedom, to stand for self-determination, and for the right of privacy. Nothing about the stand for life. I'm going to read that again. Which is that fundamental principle about the importance of liberty. To stand for liberty, to stand for freedom, to stand for self-determination, and for the right to privacy. What about the right to life of the innocent baby inside the womb? There is no humanity in this statement from the vice president herself. And she ultimately, and then this goes to November and the midterms and why it's important to put the right person up in the primaries. You have the power to elect leaders who will defend and protect your rights. And as the president said earlier today, that with your vote, you can act and you can have the final word. So this is not over. God bless you and God bless America. Now, the DOJ has come out and said that they are going to protect the right to protect women who want to travel, to have abortions, to go to states that are continuing to allow abortions. And then also, which this is up something for debate in each state, is the right that the DOJ is going to try to protect access to online ordering of medication that the FDA has approved, which if you saw in Louisiana, Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards said, look, if you're going to have these pills and take these pills, then you're going to have to take them in front of a doctor, and the people who prescribe them and send them via mail to the homes of women, and they take them, and if something adverse effect were to happen, the then pharmaceutical company will be held responsible. Very interesting. Another few things is that Virginia Governor talked about this on a noon prayer on Friday, that Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin has said that he will protect the justices from the rioters as the rioting continues, and he plans on working with legislatures in Virginia to create a bill, hopefully by January. That's the next time they're out of session right now, when they come back in January, to have abortion be banned until 15 weeks, basically the same as the Mississippi law. So very good things there coming out of Virginia, and then depending on what state you're in will depend. Also want to point this out, just a few more things on abortion before we bring up the prayer point for today, is that Garland has come out and basically said that we will work tirelessly to protect and advance reproductive rights under the Freedom of Access Clinics Entrances. Basically, he's saying the department will continue to protect healthcare providers and individuals seeking to protect reproductive health services in states where the services remain legal. He understands the authority he has. He can't try to do things, and we saw this, how the Pentagon and DOJ is going to try to do everything to circumvent this law, but in reality, they can only uphold the law that is on the books in the states that it's in. They can't overstep, and if they do, there's going to be legal cases and legal problems there. And so this is very alarming to see the DOJ say some of these things of how, you know, even their opinion of we disagree with this ruling. And if they did it, the issue is not that they did it personally, it's that they did it via the office of the DOJ. That's the issue at hand here. And then you're seeing from the West Coast basically coming together and saying, we're going to be a safe haven for women seeking abortions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're seeing companies saying, we'll pay for this. Look at whether your relationship with them, that's totally up to you, the free market. You can decide what to do with those companies. We posted that in the Facebook group. And then I want to look at some things Elizabeth Warren said, because she's coming out and saying that the Supreme Court has burned whatever legitimacy they may have had with their ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. She's talking about packing the court. She's talking about electing Democrat officials, specifically two senators or two people up for election in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania, John Fetterman in Wisconsin, and then John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, Mandela Barnes in Wisconsin, to hopefully get them on the Senate and overturn the filibuster so that they can start packing the court. Now, the reason I want to bring that up is because the president himself has said that's not something that he wants to do. The press secretary came out on a communication with the press this weekend saying the president himself has said no. And this brings into perspective Chris Reed's dream of, is this something that the left uses to get President Biden out? Because they want to pack the court. They want to go around the laws of the land, and because they don't like the outcome of how things have worked out, and will they try to remove them? Maybe. I'm not saying I have prophetic on that, but this naturally might be a way that could come about. So I say all that to say and update the situation as of right now. There's a problem with some of the speech from about a million other people with some of the things that were said this weekend. But I wanted to focus on those three, well, really four, the president, vice president, AG Merrick Garland, and Senator Elizabeth Warren, as they're brought into perspective via the prophetic. So we want to focus on what the Lord's saying. And we also want to intercede for the protection of the justices, their families, the staff who are involved, because they will possibly have some repercussions towards them as protection still needs to be had. And then also for them to have peace as this nation moves into a new era. And that new era is that it's now time for us to stand up and step up in deciding what happens next. And I want to play this clip from Lila Rose in an interview she did with Ben Shapiro on Friday, talking about, and this is the end of it, talking about the opportunity we have as a faith community, a nation, to stand up and support these women who are in these difficult situations, financially, educationally, whatever the case may be. And the question of the left, and I've been hearing it all weekend, getting backlash from some things that my wife has posted, in that, well, you just don't care about, you know, those who were born with the foster care system is horrible. And yes, there are legitimate reasons and concerns about you know, helping these children and these women out. And the biggest thing is, I'll say this before I play this clip. The biggest thing is that we need to educate women about the care pregnancy centers that are out there throughout the country so that they have the resources. I've heard from Christians saying that they're concerned because they don't, now women aren't going to have information out there because they think Planned Parenthood is the only information. And it's sad to see that the church and Christians themselves don't know that there are care pregnancy centers out there that can help women, and can educate them, help them with resourcing, help them with childcare, help them with diapers, food, car seat, a host of things. And they just, they're unaware of it. And that's where we as need to stand up and say something of like, look, we need to make people aware. So I want to play this clip as I think this is a good reminder of something that we can do.
Just beginning. We are just getting started. And this, the beauty of this moment is now we have a shot. Now we have a shot to achieve complete legal protection in some states, and that will already happen. And now we have a shot to actually make sure that if you are a child, you know, in Texas, or if you're a child in Missouri, you're going to have the protection that you deserve. So this is a huge step forward, but it's just the beginning.
And that's the key point, is this is just the beginning, even though it is a huge step forward for the church to stand up, to help these women, to get involved. And it's a chance to be that light, to bring that revival, that fire that's inside of you, and to help these women who just, maybe they don't know. Whatever the situation is no condemnation. It's just show them grace and love and walk them through whatever situation they're going through and be a resource for them as the Lord has been a resource to us, and bring them to the faith, to the cross, to help them through whatever situation they're going through. And so we want to focus on that as we go forward, as this is an opportunity for us to stand up and to truly, truly be the church and be what the Lord throughout Scripture has called us to be now and in the season ahead. And then also the last thing I want to close out on is as we continue to pray for the office of the president, we want to be aware of the situation that's going on in Russia and Ukraine because of some meetings that are happening this week. And so I'll briefly outline this, is that Russia has now started to bomb Kiev again with multiple missiles for the first time in weeks over the weekend. And there is a G7 meeting this weekend, or really this week, in Madrid, Spain, where the president of G7 and NATO members will be meeting to discuss certain aspects of the Russia-Ukraine conflict and other things, including a show of support for Ukraine, the Turkey's battle over Finland-Sweden's membership bid, eyeing the China threat. I'll get to that here in a second, real briefly. They want to upgrade their force commitment for the entirety of NATO in the fact of if Russia goes further than Ukraine, and then also focus on defense spending. Now, speaking of defense spending, the G7 group of nations have planned a $600 billion investment into what is called Global Infrastructure Plan. And this is not even global infrastructure. It's completely apocryphal, even in the name. And why this is important is because the White House has said that Washington would alone mobilize $200 billion, up to one-third of the $600 billion. And the goal is on focusing through things such as health and health services, digital connectivity. Okay, those sound good. But if we're talking about infrastructure, that's some kind of infrastructure, digital connectivity, internet connection. What about roads, electrical grids, things of that nature? But no, they're not going to focus on that. They're going to focus on gender equality and equity, climate and energy security. I mean, climate and energy security seems like the right thing, but we all know what that means, the Green New Deal on a mass global scale. And part of the one thing that is good is they're going down the right road, but some of the things that they're offering are kind of questionable of how they want to, the reason they want to do this infrastructure, quote unquote, plan is to prevent nations from getting caught in China's Belt and Road Initiative, where they do trap nations. And I think this is honorable for the fact of this needs to be addressed to a degree, but it's okay, if we're going to do this, then let's go after things that help the nation, not gender equality and equity. What? Like, why are you throwing that in there? And that's where we want to be aware and pray for this administration as these G7 nations seek to focus and highlight these things. Gender, like, why gender equality? That means nothing. They're also seeking to put pressure on Russia, and also the possibility, this is very key, the possibility of putting troops, NATO putting troops means American troops, your other European nations troops, German, etc., on the border of Ukraine dealing with Russia. So we want to pray for this administration to have the fear of the Lord and listen to the Holy Spirit when dealing with Ukraine and Russia during the G7 meetings this week. This is where our administration will be. These will be some of the focus points of some things that they'll be focusing on this week, along with next steps for life in this nation. So with that, I'll close. Blessings to each and every one of you for following along. We will this week do online noon prayer only, so let's continue to join together, and we'll give next steps as we learn about the resources to help educate. And that's going to be the biggest thing. Of if you are aware, great, help spread the news about how people can get involved and become more knowledgeable about things, because the left is throwing out scriptures about how God has taught people how abortion, maybe I'll talk about this week, because it's just, they're throwing it, spaghetti to the wall, trying to see if everything sticks, trying to condemn mothers who have had miscarriages as, well, you had an abortion, because we've heard that one here, as we've had a miscarriage, and so there's a lot to get through this week, a lot to sift through, as this weekend revealed a lot, even within the church itself, on how the church itself stands on the issue of life in this nation and the overturning of Roe v. Wade and Casey. So blessings, and I will see you guys later. Have a good one.